Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 14 is where we're going to start at. Genesis chapter number 14. This is the last message that we will be doing in our honor series. I know last week I told you I didn't know if last week was going to be it or if we're going to have one more. And there's, I believe, the Lord's leading, guiding on this one last message. Title of the message is Honor, the Choice is Up to You. Honor, the Choice is Up to You. We choose what we're going to honor. We choose what we're going to reverence. We choose what we're going to give weight to and what we're going to listen to. I know we have lots of different influences, lots of different people to try to get us to honor one individual or honor one way or to give weight to what one individual is saying or another individual is saying. But reality, it all boils down to our own choices. What will we honor with our lives? And the first week, we looked at that verse. We talked about the Lord said he will honor those who honor him. And that's the idea, is trying to live a life that is honoring to the Lord. We looked at Hophni and Phinehas and Eli versus Samuel, Hannah, and Elkanah. But throughout all the Bible, there's characters and people who honor the Lord and those who choose not to. Go all the way back to the beginning. We looked at Adam and Eve. What about their sons? Cain did not honor God. Did not honor God with his request. But Abel did exactly what God had told him to do. And you go throughout, even in the Bible, you think about Ananias and Sapphira. They loved the benefits of being someone who's being gracious. But they did not honor the Lord the way that they did it. They kept back a portion. They lied about it. But Barnabas was a person who honored the Lord with their possessions. You think about King Saul versus David. King Saul did not honor the Lord. David honored the Lord. Now, I know what you could say. There are times in David's life, I understand that. Nobody's perfect. We're all sinners. The main person we're going to be looking at tonight, in Abraham, he messed up. He sinned. But the majority of the time, he honored the Lord. You think about evil kings versus the good kings throughout the First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, the Book of Kings, all those. Some honored God, some didn't. You think about the story of Joseph. Great story. Joseph honored the Lord. He said no to Potiphar's wife. He said he had a good spirit, good attitude. He honored the Lord where he could, even in hard circumstances. Joseph's brothers didn't. You think about the story about the Pharisees. You compare the Pharisees and how they honored themselves and wanted glory versus the story of the disciples. They were, the majority of them were living to serve God. Think about how the world, thoughts were on evil continually in the days of Noah. You think about Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the perfect example I think of, I was going through considering stories, you think about how Mary of Bethany came in and broke that alabaster box of ointment. Just why? To honor the Lord. But Judas, that could have been sold. I want to honor myself. I want to be able to skim some off the top. Why couldn't we have sold that? So you have one person who's interested in honoring God. You have another person interested in honoring themselves. The truth is, we have a choice what we're going to honor. We have a choice of what we're going to reverence. We have a choice what we're going to respect. And you hear that word choice, and it makes me think of what Joshua said at the end of his life. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will honor, in a sense. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or we will honor the Lord. And the passage tonight, you're going to see a story about a man who honored God and a man who honored self. And most of us know a little bit about this story, so I'm not going to go into the historical nature of it too much, but we're going to set the scene here a little bit. Abraham, who was known Abram back then, God called him. God told him to get up out of his place and go to another land. Abram honored God because he obeyed God. He did not know where he was going. He got up. He took Lot with him. He even at that point in time took his father with him. And they went on this journey, not knowing where they're going, but he put value in what God said and said, I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to follow after this one true God. As time went along, Abram, most of you know the story, Abram and Lot, they became very, very wealthy, very, very rich. And the land could not hold both two different families that were kind of huge. And Abram told Lot, you go this way or you go that way, I'll go the other way. Most of us know the story. Lot pitched his tent in Sodom and he looked up. He made his iron and says, that's a good place for me to live. That's what would please me. He did not seek God and honor God and say, God, what is it you want me to do? Neither did he honor his uncle. And the only reason why he was rich at that point in time was because the blessing of living with his uncle, God was blessing his uncle. It does not picture in the story that Lot had much when he left with Abram. There was a reason why he had to leave with Abram. Someone had to take care of him, I believe, help at least in some ways. But we see now he's very, very wealthy. And so he has a chance here. He has a story. Chapter number 14, you have Lot now living in Sodom. And Sodom, is, most of us know, is a place of wickedness, a place known for sin. And according to the history of what's happening here, for 5 years there were 12 kings and cities of the Jordan River Valley, which included Sodom, that had been paying tribute to a king named Chedorlaomer. I'm not going to pronounce that over and over, but he had a very swift and powerful army. And they said, after year 13, they said, we're not going to pay anymore. Well, this king, who lived over 100 miles away, brings his army down, pretty much destroys the four kingdoms, and then the fifth one being Sodom. And he takes away all the booty, in a sense, the riches, he goes in and he steals or plunders, whatever you want to call the word there, and he goes and he takes all the stuff from there, and he takes even people and takes them back and begin to travel back to his land. Inside this, when Sodom was taken, Lot and his family was also taken. They hauled off all the inhabitants, they took all the things that were valuable, and now they're headed back to their side of the river, which is over 100 miles away. Abraham hears about this. Abraham goes and he trains his 318 men that are trained inside his own family, inside his servants, and they go and they overtake this king that five different kingdoms could not take over. And here in this story, Abraham rescues Lot, rescues his family, and now they're coming back. You know, the 318 trained army or trained people that was inside his household, they come back, Abraham comes back, and Abraham is greeted by two different kings, the Bible tells us. One that represents God, one that represents the world. Abraham has a choice here, and as you read through this story, I think it's a great story to help us see you have a choice who you're going to please. We went through the book of Genesis, and I look back, I think it was probably back in 2014. And as we looked at this story back in 2014, a couple years ago, there's a lot of knowledge that we have about the story. We know that Abram right now has been promised children or grandchildren or descendants that outnumber the sands of the seas and the stars in the sky. But right now he has no children. Lot, obviously, at least has four different children. Lot has chosen to do the wrong thing, has chosen to go to the path of Sodom, has chosen to live in wickedness, has chosen to live in sin, and he has not honored God, but Lot has a lot of possessions, and Lot has the family. And I want you to remember that and picture this as we look through chapter 14 here, and as we go through chapter number 15, I want you to see here how Abraham has honored God with his life, and how Lot had honored himself, and I want you to consider Lot. I want you to consider Abraham, but I also want you to consider your choice too. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 14. We're going to start in verse 16. It says, and he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. So, you know, this is a story. Abram has come. He has defeated the army. He is very strategic in his army. Now, some of his people that were around him helped him too. And so they have come. They defeated the army. They've done something that the other people could not do. And you see they're bringing back the treasures of this. Now, once again, this is a lot of treasure. They have just destroyed five different kingdoms. It's not just the things from Sodom. They have to pick the best of the best. There is a lot of wealth here. Verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. So we see now, you get the picture here, the king of Sodom is beginning to come out to meet him from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now this man, Melchizedek, we know a little bit about him. He's written about in the book of Genesis, written about in the book of Psalms, written about in the book of Hebrews. We we don't have time to go through all the ideas of who he is or who he's not. He is, but we see what the description is given here. He is someone who represents God, the priest of the Most High God. So I want you to picture this. Melchizedek is here. He gets there before the king of Sodom. And you see what happens here. He brings forth bread and wine. And we know what is bread and wine representation of in the day and time we live in. It's a representation of the Lord's Supper. And he is reminding Abram. Abram is getting ready to be tempted in a great manner and in a great way by the king of Sodom. He is going to be made a fantastic offer by the king of Sodom, but Melchizedek reminds him of something. He says, remember, here's the bread, here's the wine. And I think Abram knew what was coming, knew that there was a Savior coming, knew because of all the different sacrifices that were brought back before by Abel and passed down these generations. He's reminded there's more than life than these temporal things. And he said in verse number 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So he's reminding him, look who did this, and he gave him tithes of all. So I think this is Abram giving tithes to God, giving tithes to God's man here. You know, in the sense, he has all these possessions that are there with him, and he gives tithes of the battle. Verse 21, then the king of Sodom. Now, the king of Sodom here, as we see throughout the Bible, represents wickedness and represents the world, said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And when we talked about this a couple years ago, we talked about how the devil's interested in souls. You know, give me the people. You can take all the stuff, all the stuff of the world, as long as I can have your soul. That's all that really matters. Now, King of Sodom here is an individual, is a person. It is not Satan, but the representation that's given of the King of Sodom later on, it's a picture of the world. And the King of Sodom said unto Abram, give me thy persons and take the goods to thyself. He says, look, all I want back is my people. You can have all the things you've took, all the things you possess. And I'm talking, this is a treasure, I mean, a huge treasure. Verse number 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord. Now, this idea here of lifting up his hand to the Lord, I think he has made a promise to God, a commitment to God. Now, did he make this promise, a commitment to God, to Melchizedek when he was there talking to him? I think beforehand, we know Abram is a praying man. Before he went out to this battle, he had probably went to God and made a commitment. God, I am not interested at all in these possessions. I'm not interested in any all these other stuff and getting involved and mixed up with all these other armies. All I want to do is bring Lot back and bring him home safely. Lord, if you will give me safety in the passage. He might have made a commitment, but he's saying he lifted up his hand. He made a promise to God somewhere, and he's honoring his promise. And look what his promise was. I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And he, once again, he's giving testimony to the king of Sodom, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch. He says, I'm not going to take anything, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. And he's saying, look, I don't have anything to do with you. What he represents is wickedness and evil. He says, I'm not going to have you tell anybody that you're the one that made me rich. It's God who possesses heaven and earth. He's honoring the Lord with this, but also giving a testimony. Verse 24, save only that which the young men have eaten, talking about the men he brought with him, but also those that had came with him, the few families that were around that was in there. And you see the names here at the end. And the portion of the men which went with me, he says, look, these men came on their own and they help. If they want stuff, they can take this. Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. He says, let them have this, but for me and for my family, we don't want anything. And I want you to picture in verse number 15, this story. You see Sodom leaving and thinking, Sodom, this king of Sodom, he's pretty happy right now. You think about it, he has just lost his whole kingdom. It has been ravished. The highest and best people have been stolen away. All the treasures of the kingdom are gone. He gets all that back. He gets all the people back. And he is leaving, and he does not have to lose anything. You imagine, he probably thinks Abram's crazy, thinking, man, this guy had a chance to get millions of dollars worth of stuff, and he says, I don't want it. I don't even want to shoe latch it. And he says, and he's smiling the whole way. And then you have Lot and his family that's there. And you have Lot, and you have his wife, and you have his maybe his girls that are there. And They're leaving too. They're leaving with all their possessions. And I'm sure Abram wanted them to stay. Abram probably said something to him about God. Look, God delivered you. God brought this out. Why didn't you come back? Why don't you come back into this relationship with the one true God? Why don't you come back to our family? Look what Sodom has done to you. Look what Sodom has caused to happen in your life. Look what's happening to you when you're honoring. Come back. And you see Lot and his family turning around, heading right back to the world. Even though God has allowed these things to happen, God is trying to get Lot, and we preached this a few years ago, you know, God's trying to get Lot's attention. God is over and over trying to get Lot's attention. Even chapters later, you see fire is going to rain down from heaven. It's going to destroy Sodom, going to destroy Gomorrah, and God still sends the angels to get Lot out of that city for Abraham's sake and get Lot out of that city. Once again, he's trying to reach Lot. He's trying to reach out to him, and he only cares about honoring himself. Verse number 1, chapter number 15. And you see, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. So you can imagine Abram's like, there goes Lot. He's got all the same things I have for the most part, but he has children, I don't. There goes the king of Sodom. He thinks I'm crazy, but he's going back to his kingdom and has all his possessions still. But the Lord says to him, he says, fear not. He says, look, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Abram, I am thy shield. He says, look, I'm the one that's protected you. And I love this next phrase, and thy exceeding great reward. He said, Abram, let me be what you want. Don't worry about the possessions. Don't worry about the things. Let me become your exceeding reward. In this world, it has so many things to offer you, so many things that the devil can say, here, have it. God says, let me be your exceeding great reward. Let me be what you look for. Let me be what you honor. Let me be what you live for. Let me be the desire of your heart. I can be everything you need and more than you could ever imagine if you're willing to allow me to be your exceeding great reward. Now, verse number 2, Abram says something to him. He's honest with him. And I think God wants us to be honest with him. He already knows our hearts. He already knows what we're thinking. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. He's seeing Lot. He's seeing Lot's family. He says, look, to me you haven't given me anything. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine house's own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars that there thou can number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And verse number 6 is the key. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now here's the thought here, and it's just a pretty simple thought. Abram had a choice. You imagine the story. You got the king of Sodom that's offering all the pleasures that this world has to offer. And you got the king of Salem, which is the representation of God. You have the right living, the right God, the right this, the right this, and then you have the world. And the question is, what are you going to honor with your life? The choice is really up to you. I know you might live in a family, you might live in a home that, you know, there's different people trying to pull you one way or another way, but there's no one that can be responsible but for your own self and your own thinking of what you will honor, what you will give creed to, what you will worship, what you will reverence, and what you will respect. That is your choice. And that's the title of the idea here, honor. It's your choice. We've gone through all these things. We've looked at all these different characters. We've heard about honoring God when things are difficult and when their times are hard. We've learned about all these different things. And here it is. What will you choose to honor? First thing I want you to consider is Lot's choice. Lot's choice. And most of you know the story. He was given a choice by Abram. And it says in chapter 13, verse 12, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was captivated by the world. He was taken in with Sodom. And we see the downward progression of the foolish choices that demonstrated his continual desire to honor himself. Over and over, even though God over and over says, look, I want you to honor me. Look, this is what's going to happen. This bad things are going to happen. Remember, he said, I will honor him who honor me. But those who don't honor him, he's going to lightly esteem. And this is the story of Lot. God lightly esteems him. God does not protect him. You think about it. When those men were trying to capture his family, I'm sure Lot called out to God. I'm sure like everyone does that knows of the one true God. When hardship is happening and bad things are happening, Lot is there and his family's been taken captive. I'm sure he cries out to God and said, God, please help me. God doesn't esteem a man who's not going to honor him. God's not going to give that desires of his heart and his requests if they're not willing to honor him with his life. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Chapter 14, verse 12, it says that, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelled in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. It's an interesting thing that the Bible tells us that the Sodom's sinfulness always bothered Lot. It says in 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, and delivered just Lot, just meaning I'm believing that he believed in the one true God. I believe we'll see Lot in heaven. You can argue with me about that if you want to, but he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexes his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. What the Bible's saying is that they vexed him with his wickedness. They saw him over and over, and it just drove him crazy. And their filthy conversation, the way they lived their lives. But he did not leave. He did not separate. Lot lived his life in Sodom, was constantly vexed with the wickedness. However, Scripture never records that Lot built an altar. Scripture never records that he sought the Lord. Scripture never tells us that he did anything to try to reach his family. We know that he lost his children to the world. We know because he honored himself and honored pleasure and honor, his children learned that. And he lost his children in the fire. He lost his wife because she loved the world so much. And his other daughters, we know that they lost their innocence with the conception that he had a part in unknowingly when he was drunk. Now Lot finds himself taken with his godless world, and he has chosen to be a part of it. And this is the idea of the person who's lightly esteemed. Remember, sin will always take you farther than you intended to go, cost you more than you intended to pay, and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. So we see Lot's choice. Now you see the completely difference with Abraham's choice. Abram's choice is in chapter 23, verse 4, it says, I am a stranger, sojourner in this world. He says, look, you can say what you want, but I am a stranger in this world. I am a friend of God. Lot was a friend of the world. Abram was a friend of God. Lot sat at the gates of the city, and he wanted to be something big in Sodom. He wanted to be lifted up in Sodom. He wanted to be known in Sodom. Abram says, I'm just a stranger in this world. See, he chose to see this world as a temporary traveler. He knew the most important elements in his life was his relationship with God. And I know people have struggles and people have hardships and people have hard times. But the life that honors God is a life of victory. The life that honors self is a life of victimization. You're victimized. You're destroyed by this world. You're overcome by the world. And you live for yourself and not God. We often assume that struggles come to people like Lot as a picture of living in this world, but not for people like Abraham. They separated themselves to God, and they said, you can have the things of this world, like he did with Sodom, when the choice is, you can have the things of this world, but give me Jesus. You can have whatever you want, you can honor whatever you want, you can spend your whole life trying to gain all these riches, but I want God. That's more important than anything else. When Abram heard that Lot was captive, he went and helped him. And I want you to understand something here. Lot made his choice. Abram made his choice. But now there's a choice up to you. And so you consider Abraham's choices. You consider Lot's choices. But consider your choice. We come to the most important part here. Is you read here, Melchizedek is someone who is representing God and saying, before you have this great temptation. You know, he doesn't come to him before he's getting ready to battle these four kings. He doesn't come to him at any other spot, but he knows the temptation is going to come. He's going to see all this wealth. He's going to see all these people that could become his slaves. He's going to see all this there. He knows this is tempting here. He says, now look, I want you to remember one thing, the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, or the bread and the wine. There is a future. There is a purpose in this world. There is a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you honor. There's a reason why you're here in Canaan and not back in the land of Ur. There's a reason why you're here. You've honored me so far. Now continue to honor me. And I think it's amazing that not only does he not take in the riches, but he still pays tithe, from what it makes sound like, of the things he still gives to the Lord, and he doesn't even take any of the riches. I think that's that's a choice of honoring God more than himself. Think about it. God says, will you make me your exceeding great reward? Abraham stands between the kingdom of Salem and the king of Sodom, And God says, who are you going to choose? And that's where we're at in this world today. You know, we stand for what is right and for what is wrong, the lures of this world, the rewards of heaven. What are you going to honor? And we've seen all these things. You know, King of Salem is the priest of the Most High God. He offers the blessing of God. He's a picture of Jesus Christ in his priestly office. The king of Sodom is known for being the son of evil, offers the bounty of the world. It's a picture of the world. And what is it we're going to live for? We have a choice here. And I love this story. As you come and you just read through it, he has a wonderful opportunity. Once again, he went, he delivered the people. Most people say, you've earned this, you've respected this. He didn't even have to give back the people. They could have become his slaves. He already had 318 people working for him. Imagine the hundreds that were still probably there and part of it. They could have done all that. He says, no, I don't want any of that. I want to honor God with my life. The temptation in this world, sometimes they're going to be great. Sometimes we're tempted with maybe $100, you know, cheating on our taxes or just abusing a person or taking advantage of somebody. Abraham has a choice to have riches untold. He said, nope, I'm going to honor God with my life. And this is the choice we have. Maybe some of us don't have riches untold. And Abram was already a wealthy man. Don't get me wrong. He had 318 men that were able to go fight in a battle. So that doesn't include the ones that were too young or the ones that were too old. Doesn't include their wives. Doesn't include the handmaids he probably had. Doesn't include any of that. He was a very wealthy person, but still said, it's yours, Lord. We saw him honor God when God said, I want it. I want Isaac. He said, okay, Lord. It was a struggle, but what does he end up doing? He honors God with that. Let me close with this thought. You ever received a really great gift? I know some of us have had some really great gifts in the past. Sometimes we get lost at looking at the gift more than we look at the person who's given it to us. Abram could have focused on the fact that, look at all this stuff. Look at all these people. But Melchizedek reminded him, God's the one that did this for you. So when we receive a great gift, to say that I give my wife a wonderful whatever it is, and she starts focusing on the gift and thinking and talking about how great the gift is, and she forgets the person who's given to her, she forgets that the person who loves her, the reason why they did it. You ever been so focused on the gift that you miss out on really being truly thankful for the giver? And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about God. You know, so often do we want to restore our marriage so much that we forget who the restorer is. So often do we want our provisions increased so much we forget who our provider is. So often we want our children to return to God, but do we want the God that can actually help our children return to him? See, Abram had the right focus here. Abram was willing and was reminded, remember the purpose while you're here. Remember there is a God in heaven. Remember he's the one that owns the heaven and the earth. He's the one that has delivered this. He's the one that's giving you this gift. He's the one that's done all this for you. You wouldn't have anything of this if you did not obey and honor God to begin with. God is the one that's giving you this promise. God has said to you, I'm going to make your lineage, your inhabitants, your descendants, as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the sky. He's done all that for you. Now, don't get so focused on the gift. You forget who gave you the gift. And God, that's where we honor God. Salvation is wonderful. Our families are wonderful. Church is wonderful. I mean, all these things are great. But let us never forget where those things come from. They come from God. Lot looked around and he had been up in Egypt for a while and he shouldn't have been there in the first place. He got a taste of the world, I think, and that traveled him all the way down to Sodom. And because of that, when he saw that, it reminded him of the plains of Egypt. And he's like, that was the good life. He forgot that God was the one that blessed him. He forgot that God was the one that had done these things for him. And he started saying, you know what? I'm going to take care of me for a little while. I'm going to care about what I want. I'm going to do things the way I want them done. And we forget that there is a God in heaven that's done all that for us. We have a choice who we honor. Will we honor God or we honor self? Will we be like Cain and says, this is the way I think it should be done. Here's the best. And I think he gave his best. Or will we be like Abel? God, I'm going to do things your way. I don't understand, but I'm going to give this lamb. Or we're going to be like Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, it doesn't matter if I lie a little bit and a little bit deceitful. I'm giving a portion of to the church. They should be happy with that. God should be pleased with it. Or we're going to be like Barnabas, who just gave and didn't care. Didn't try to make it, manipulate it to make himself look good. Didn't care about honoring himself. He just had a piece of land. He saw people had need. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to give. He didn't do it to get credit. He didn't know what was going to happen. Over and over in the Bible, you see people who remembered God and honored God. What did it talk about Nehemiah when they were facing all those trials? What was the battle cry? Remember the Lord. If we're really going to honor God, we got to say, I'm going to remember the Lord. I know I have all these wonderful possessions. I have all these opportunities. I have all this stuff that's in front of me, because any of us could go live in wickedness anytime we wanted to. Any of us could put on the TV show, get on the internet, start an ungodly relationship, or start running our mouths and doing things. Any of us could do anything. We could become wicked if we wanted to, and we could say, all these temptations here. No, I'm going to choose to honor God instead. I believe in Him. He's the one. But here's the question is he your exceeding great reward? God had to remind Abram that. I think as he's watching Lot and Mrs. Lot and the Lot kids walk and go, you know, I think he's thinking, God, they have a family, but I have no one. I have Eleazar, whatever his name is. This is all I have to show God. And God's like, no, don't miss this, Abram. I am thy shield, which means I am thy protector. I'm the reason why you have all this. Why didn't those five kingdoms or four kingdoms of the fancy name guy come and attack Abram? God was his shield. He says, I'm the reason why you have this. Now, make me your exceeding great reward. I've made you a promise. I'm going to keep that promise. But I want you to view me that no matter whatever happens in this life, I am your reward, and I am the one you will always be happy, satisfied, and pleased with. I am the one that you're working towards. I'm the one that's going to make you happy. And in your life, when you please me, it's going to satisfy you at the same time. So who does that? Apostle Paul is the one that says that his spiritual aspiration was to know him. He said, I'm willing to count everything else but dung. I have this long list of things that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's my reward, is God. God is my reward. That is what I'm working towards. Now, I know the things of this world. Nothing wrong with having things. Abram was rich. Abram was probably more rich than any of us, probably all of us combined. He had a lot of things. But God said, don't ever lose sight of this. I am your great and exceeding reward. That's what I want for my life. I want to be able to clear. And am I there? No. I want to clear everything out and say, Lord, as long as I please you, I'll be satisfied. As long as I'm working towards you, I'm going to be happy. So things of this world, yes, they're going to pull at me. They're going to fight it tooth and nail. Even people that I live with might not understand. People I go to church with might not understand. But you're my reward. You're my goal. But the choice is ours. We got the king of Sodom, the king of Salem. We got the things of this world, God's will. What choice are we going to have? Who are we going to honor? Who are we going to reverence? Who are we going to respect? Who are we going to give weight to? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. I pray that you enjoy this service, this series about honor. I know it's helped me some, and throughout the last 5, 6 weeks, however long it's been, 7 weeks, am I honoring God with my life? Am I honoring God with my time? Am I honoring God with my obedience? Is God really my great exceeding reward? Is he my treasure? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to come to your house. Lord, I pray you help us. I pray you give us the right words to say and the right things to do. Lord, I know that we honor a lot of things. We talk about honoring the graduates. We talk about honoring those that that have respect, those who have served the military. We talk about giving honor to a lot of things and a lot of different people. But God, I pray you help us to understand that above all else, we need to honor you. And Lord, the promises that are attached with that, you told us that you will honor them who honor you. And Lord, we saw that in the life of Joseph. We saw that in the life of Abram, even here, or Abraham, and the reward that he had because he honored you. And we saw that in the life of Samuel and Hannah. We saw that over and over and over in the Word of God. Lord, help us to see that and grasp a hold of it and say, God, I want to honor you with my life, with my possessions, with my time. In Jesus' name, amen. God has spoken to your heart. The altar is open, as Brother Jim sings.